الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وآمنوا برسوله يؤتيكم كفلين من رحمته ويجعل لكم نورا تمشون به ويغفر لكم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. السلام على محمد وعلى محمد. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the absolute Creator, the one who gives us laws and regulations, the one who sets the human being and all his creations upright. Islam is the religion known as Hanif. It's a religion that is upright, a religion that guides people in the right direction. Yesterday and the days before, I mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great religion, Islam, which He completed for us as a favor. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Allah says, today I have completed for you this religion, perfected for you this religion. He has made it, as we say, kamal. It implies that all the rules and regulations that came over the span of 23 years to the Holy Prophet, as well as to all the previous prophets, the combinations, all of them put together, require this complete religion, Islam, and its intention to have been brought over centuries was because to perfect mankind. And therefore, in a simplistic manner, if someone were to ask us, what is the purpose of your belief in God? What is the purpose of your belief in God? The best answer one can give, besides that God is worthy of worship, but one would then ask, God is not in need of your worship, then why would you say He is worthy of worship? And one would answer in the best of ways to say that I am in need of perfection, and I can never attain perfection until and unless the one who created me gives me the guidelines for perfection. And since humans can never guarantee perfection, then there is none other left than the Creator to give me perfection. There's a beautiful verse in the Quran. Allah says, إِنْ يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Okay, إِنْ يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ. When your Lord helps you, يَنْصُرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ, then no one can overcome you. Meaning you will reach your goals, you will reach perfection, you will reach the intended goals that Allah intended for you, because your Lord is helping you. And therefore when we seek the help from Allah through the religion Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that only through me will you attain it, because the second part of the verse questions that if Allah doesn't help you, right? When يَخْضُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَنْ لَبِي يَنْصُرْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ, then who is there to help you? What a beautiful verse in the Quran. That if Allah doesn't help you, then who is there to help you? Meaning there is nobody in the world, or in the universe for that matter, who can take you and me to perfection without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it's rational, it's logical, it's complete when a human being completes their thought to understand that I am a Muslim and I bear witness. I bear witness that I am a Muslim, and I bear witness that there is no God but one. And I bear witness that the Holy Prophet is the last messenger of Allah, and I bear witness that after his departure there were 12 infallibles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose and commissioned to reflect and protect the message of the Holy Prophet. Allah says, now that is a complete human being. On that note, I say to you, my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, As-salamu alaykum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In continuity to what I've been saying the last few tonight with regards to the need for us to polish our moral character and the need to proactively play an important role to represent Islam properly for the others. It is very essential in the most fundamental of ways that our selves are polished first. When we say Amra bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, Amr al-Ma'ruf is one of the requirements of what we call furu' al-Deen, the branches of religion in Islam, particularly the school of thought among the Ja'fari. Amr al-Ma'ruf, and I'm sure my young brothers there know what Amr al-Ma'ruf is. Do you know what Amr al-Ma'ruf is, brother? Yes? How about you, brother? Do you know what Amr al-Ma'ruf is? You do? You sure? You go to madrasa? Yes? How about you, brother? You go to madrasa? Yes? Are you embarrassed? I'm looking at you. Amr bil Ma'ruf is to enjoin the good. You cannot enjoin the good until and unless you enjoin the good of yourselves first. Dirty water cannot make dirty water clean. One has to purify themselves in order to go and take dirty water and make it clean. Because it is only pure water that can purify dirty water. Okay? So when I'm using the analogy, the only way I'm going to help others is when charity begins at home. So many times we think Amr bil Ma'ruf is just go out and tell the people how good it is to be a Muslim. But ourselves, we don't even look at ourselves. Somehow we feel we're just so good, there's no need for me to. You know, you can look at myself. I want to do a good deed. I want to please Allah. But do we ever bother to look at ourselves and say, you know, I have so many bad characters. I have so many bad manners that I need to get rid of before I can go and tell somebody, hey, you should behave well. The person's going to look at you and say, what are you telling me? I see so many bad manners you have. So Amr bil Ma'ruf, by its nature, is that when an individual engages themselves in self-purification, you will find there's a natural glow that glows out of you, that takes you into the dimension that wherever you go now, you will be doing Amr bil Ma'ruf, enjoining the good. And what is Nahi anil Munkar? Forbidding the evil. So these two combinations are a requirement for every Muslim. And the verse that I started says, Ya Yuhina, the Taqullah. All those of you who believe, be God aware. Be aware of your Lord. اتقوا الله. وآمنوا برسوله. And have faith. Believe in your messenger. Why? Having faith in Allah is incomplete. It's incomplete if I do not believe in the Prophet. Why? I'm going to run this session today almost like a semi class. Why? Because why do we need a prophet? My brother Rahman, why do we need a prophet? Ahsan, we need an example. We need a role model. Allah tells me to do good deeds and tells me to do this and tells me to do that and to avoid us. How would I know what it means? What does it mean to be good? What does it mean to avoid? Until and unless I have an example to follow the best example, it's impossible. So Allah says your belief in the Prophet is most important. That your religion is incomplete without the messenger being mentioned in your day-to-day shahada. Look, I believe in Allah as one. I believe in His unity. I believe in His absoluteness. I believe in all His good qualities. But is that sufficient? No, it's not sufficient. This is a religion based on faith, not a religion based on faith with good actions. The religion of Islam, unlike any religion in the world, is a religion of faith based on good actions. وَلَصْلِمَ الْإِنسَانَ لَدِينَ خُسْرٍ إِنَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. But you notice, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ is everywhere. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. الزيتون وطور السينين وهذا البلد الأمين. لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to say that to us. He says, Allah swears by the fig tree, watin, watzaytun, the olive, watur sinin, the mountain in Sinai, wahada al-balad al-amin, and this protected city, balad al-amin. Allah said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Indeed, we created man in the best of forms, meaning his moral quality, his status in iman, his status and her status in good actions. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The best among those shapes, best of forms, best of shapes. Meaning when my behavior reaches the best form, Allah is in that part of the verse. أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah says, ثُمَّ then رَدَدْنَاهُ, we lowered it to the lowest of the low. Meaning a human being, he can be worse than an animal, worse than cattle. Allah says, كَانْ عَمْ بَلْ. They are like cattle, Allah's His name, worse than cattle. Those who are the disbelievers. Those whose deeds and actions are bad, Allah says they are worse than cattle. You and I, brothers and sisters, have the potential of being terrible, terrible, terrible beasts. So when Allah says, "Ittaq Allah," have fear of Allah, what does this mean? Why does Islam tell me, use this law to protect you? When I examine human behavior, when I was studying in the university, social behaviors, you and I have the potential to murder, we have the potential to eat humans, we have the potential to commit the worst crimes. We have it. Honestly with you, I have seen pictures in West Africa where diamonds are sought after, and there's war taking place there. I've seen pictures of little boys in the army with guns, holding decapitated heads of others, heads without bodies, holding, laughing about how this kid went on and he killed and cut the head of someone else. A little kid, 10, 11 years old, holding the head. Okay? And I see this picture, it puts a chill in my spine. How is it a 10, 11 year old kid can do that? Can go and kill somebody with a gun and cut the head off, which is one of the most insulting things a person can do to a body, and take the head off and he's holding it and he's laughing. And I say, wow, is he so reckless? Is he so cold? Is his heart so bad? Is this a human being? Or a beast? Even a lion would not do that to you if it's not hungry. And a lion will do only what it wants from you. It will take its part of meat and leave the rest. This kid is holding a decapitated head with a gun on one side, and I'm looking at his picture, it sends a chill in my spine to say, is this a kid who's abnormal, or is it the potential that we all have if we are driven in this state? Is this kid's genetic bad? Did something go wrong in his birth? Did God create this monster? And if you don't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your son has a tendency for this. Watch out. If you don't check yourself, and if your environment is not well placed, and if it is not driven with the true direction, you will become this beast, where decapitating and killing and cutting and murdering will become the norm. You know, during the French Revolution, in your neighbor's country, you find that when guillotine was created during the time of Marie Antoinette, you find people were butchering each other. Everybody was putting each other to the guillotine. It was a witch hunt. And cutting people's heads off was a common practice. You say, is it? We humans, do we have this capacity so easily to do somebody and put them into the guillotine and just have the blade come down? It's so easy. And what we find is, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that the rahmah of Allah is that it is stopping us. It is preventing us from doing such kinds of things. It is the religion of Allah. It is that fear that Allah says, Allah, have fear of Allah. There's a big message here, and I wish to share it today, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa aminu bi rasulihi yu'tikum kiflayn. Will give you what? He says, two portions, kiflayn min ar-rahma. From his mercy, he will double for you. Two portions. When he says double, meaning that that's what he's saying. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ نُورًا تَمْشُونَ. And we will make light come out of yourselves. We will make you glow. نُورًا تَمْشُونَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And we will protect you / forgive you, because غَفَرَ إِسْتِغْفَارَ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ has two meanings. One is for God to forgive you for your past, at the same time to protect you for your future. Because ghafara is this far, also means protection, not necessarily seeking forgiveness. Protection. And Allah is oft forgiving, merciful. This is the Quran in Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse number 28, speaks of this verse. Such a beautiful verse. A universal verse that requires understanding, that we need to have a broad understanding that my Lord is my giver of laws, my Lord is the one who brought me, my Lord has shown me my potentials, and my Lord tells me when he says, ثُمَّ رَدَلْنَا وَأَخْبَرَ السَّاعِدِينَ, that I do have the potential of being a beast. If a human being understands that I do have the potential of murdering someone, I do have the potential of lying, I do have the potential of abusing someone. I do have the potential of stealing and cheating and being a terrible human being. I, as a human being, do have that potential. Yes. Nobody can say that they don't have the potential. They do. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. We lower them to the lowest of the low. When a human being understands in the scope of Rabbi Ma'ruf wa Nahy an Munkar that my potentials are to reach the best of forms simultaneously to the worst of forms, and Allah says the only way you will protect yourself from the worst is إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except that you believe and do good deeds. Allah says, for that one, not only will he become the best human being, but what lies ahead for him is what? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونٍ. For him is a reward you cannot count. Allah says, فَمَا يُكَذِّبُكَ بَعْدُ بِالدِّينِ عَلَيْهِ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. For what arguments do you have to belie us? Isn't Allah the wisest of the wise? This verse, this surah, by the way, Mufassireen have mentioned in the beginning part, Teen, Zaytun, Turi Sinin, Baladin Aim, is really the entire prophethood. These are symbols of prophets. Teen, Adam alayhi salam, Zaytun, Nuh alayhi salam, Turi Sinin, Musa alayhi salam, Baladin Aim, the only prophet. Great prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by them. How? Through their message, through their character, that they have shaped mankind. That when Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, إِنَّ رَدَدْنَا أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ, doesn't mean a physical state where a human being becomes ugly, or somehow God makes him an invalid, or God, you know, makes him sick. No. What Allah means by that, أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ, even Allah explained, He says this implies actions. Deeds, because the condition is إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except those who believe and do good deeds. Implication is therefore that the lowest of the low is the one who doesn't believe and does bad deeds. So Quran is so clear and so beautiful, and it lays this foundation for us. So once we understand this, now let's go down to the basic necessities in our day-to-day lives. What are the solutions to this beautiful living that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, how do we encourage taqwa? First and foremost, when I understand that my Lord is all seeing, and I am aware of Him seeing me, it changes the dimension. And knowing that there is a day of judgment changes the dimension. This is a philosophical talk, and then we'll speak about the pragmatic talk. You will see that if an individual truly believes that Allah is watching them, an individual truly believes that God will judge them on judgment day, the entire character of the individual will change. Honestly, I have seen it with my eyes. I was once in court. I wanted to talk to the judge because I was given a ticket for having crossed the red light unfairly. And I was waiting in line, and there were a couple of boys, street boys, you could tell, pretty rough kind. And they were going to go to jail. They must have done some crime. I don't know what the crime was, but they committed a crime. And they were sitting outside talking to their attorney. And I would be sitting outside. And I'm watching her talk to them about what they should say to the judge to get a plea bargain. How to escape going to jail. And you should have seen the attitude of these guys. Tough. Like tough as nails. You know, they just look at you like cold, glassy eyes. Nothing shakes them. Bold, fearless. Do you ever see gang guys, guys of the gangs? They're like that. They're vicious. Is it by their nature they're vicious? No. Somebody and groups of people abuse these kids from childhood. They were thrown around. They didn't see anybody they could trust. They joined gangs. And the only way to support and to protect themselves was through this facade of viciousness. I know brothers, friends of mine who live in very poor neighborhoods in America, New York, for example. They say, when you come from the hood, which is the neighborhood, they say, when you come from the hood, you have to have a tough attitude, because if you're Mr. Nice Guy, you're gone. They'll kick you, they'll steal from you, they'll do everything possible on you. They're own people, imagine. That's how vicious a circle can be, when morals are stripped from society as a result of economic reasons and racism and other problems, where we look down on another human being, when we take their natural right, when we take their dignity away, when we steal their dignity, and we kick them and we push them, and then we are wondering why they become criminals, so many of them. If you look at the social system, it's designed to make certain people poor. It's not designed to take people out of poverty. We don't work in our societies to take people out of poverty as much. Where this world should not be poor. The kind of wealth that goes around, if one man like Bill Gates can own $40 billion plus as his assets, they say, if you have $1 billion that you possess, and every hour you give away $1,000 for the rest of your life, you can't get rid of it. Every hour, throw $1,000 away. Every hour, throw it away. For the rest of your life, you can't get rid of $1 billion. Imagine $40 billion. There's so much wealth that when I travel and I go to villages in India, I've been to India, but I've been to Pakistan, I've been to Africa and other parts of the world, in Iran and so on, when you go to these poor neighborhoods, you see a child, you give him $1, you've given him so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it. He's so happy to give him a little money. And I said, this is what we throw away. To us, a few dollars in America, in England, the pound is like $1, you know, 50 pounds is like $50 to you. To the American, of course, it's double. But to the Englishman, a pound is just a pound. And you can see what the power of this pound is. Do we care to share it much? Why is there poverty in the world? Honestly, something's wrong with the system which brings about these kinds of problems in the society where there is poverty. And if you go into these slums and see the poor people the way they live, you say, SubhanAllah, I cannot imagine how people can live in such conditions. Now imagine you're a child growing up in that society, and the only thing you can protect yourself is with anger and fighting, and you have to look tough. Sure, you have to, it becomes your nature. It's the only way to survive. But I tell you, even those wild guys having a son, if you ever sit with them eye to eye, meet them heart to heart, all that facade drops, and they become very nice. So I'm a believer, even those guys in the hood are beautiful people. They've just been mistreated, misguided, and they've misguided themselves. So those are these kind of kids having this discussion with their attorney. And the attorney says, look, you gotta do this, Dad, I'm gonna do that, no way. Tough, Mr., I'm watching him. I'm quietly just watching. I'm looking at the eyes of this kid, and I said, I wonder what he's gone through. Why is he like this? And look, he doesn't even care. He's about to meet the judge. And the judge will put him in the slammer. And the worst place a person could be is in prison. Because there you're going to be used even more. It's hell. And you watch this kid, no fear. Yet. Does he have it? Yes. But he hasn't been put on the hot plate yet. So he's talking to this attorney, why the matter is this way? I'm watching. Wow, that's an attitude. Man, I'd be trembling by now knowing that the judge is going to meet me in the next 10 minutes. They're tough. He says, this is how it's going to be. You're going to do this, you're going to do this. And he says, ah, no, I don't want to do this. And the guys are fighting. One of them even, you know, curses her because she's trying to give him this. He turns around, walks away, and then she says, come back here. Because the police was standing right there, so he couldn't walk away. He comes back. So anyway, this situation fades, goes, and I'm called in first, and I'm sitting. And suddenly these guys come in, and they actually go before me. So now these four kids are standing in front of the judge, and you should have seen the way they stood. They had no, yes, Your Honor, sure, Your Honor, of course, Your Honor. No bleeps, no curses, no yo, no tough business, no pointing. Just, yes, the hands were like this. Yes, Your Honor. Sure, Your Honor. So what happened here? Are these the same guys that had outside? Can't be. They're too nice. Sure, Your Honor. And sad face, like they're about to cry. Oh, you feel so much pity for them. I said, look at that. They know all the characteristics of how to behave. Suddenly turns on like a switch. And I stared at them for 10 minutes and the judge was passing judgment. I said, SubhanAllah, what is it that this child doesn't know? What is it that drove him to this behavior? God, if only I could lock this behavior and take them out of this courtroom and put them back into the world and they would be moving with this character. What is it that's going to take them in this behavior? It was that judge looking at them with a whip, you know? And chain says, you're ready to go to jail. Use Your Honor. Sure, Your Honor. Of course, Your Honor. See, when Allah says, Ittaqu Allah, have fear of Allah. You notice the difference now? When I have fear of Allah, my judge, Malik the only being, Allah says 10 times you say this, Malik the only being, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, it's not sirat al-Mustaqim. You guide me, my Lord. Look at the best practical example of a human being. In its fullest form is when an individual knows that the judge is looking at them. You take the most reckless kids from the street, put them in front of a judge, and they know the next moment that this behavior is going to put them in jail. And they know now there is no escape, you find their behavior changing. Allah says, وَإِذَا غَشِّيَ الْمَوْجُمْ قَوْتُلَلِ دَعْبُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِسِينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُ مِنَ الْبَرِّ فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدْ وَمَا يَجْحَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا كُلُّ خَتَّارٍ كَفُورٍ. What a beautiful verse. He says, وَإِذَا غَشِّيَ الْمَوْجُمْ, when the wave is covering them about for them to sink in this vast ocean, this arrogant being, I'm paraphrasing here my own little commentary on the side, وَإِذَا غَشِيَهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعْوُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ, they pray to their Lord with sincere prayer. Yes God, help me, save me from sinking. Yes. Same guy before? What God? We don't mean God, no God. God? Ah, you're wasting your time. God. Yeah, when he's singing, please. It's the Muhammad Sayyid al-Abdin. But I'm not, when we take them back to shore, they take the middle road. God? It was a God? No, that was just the way that drove you. Allah says, no one rejects our summons. except one who is bent, perfidious in the last day, rejected. One who is a true Kafir, who absolutely knows that there is a God, but he wants to make his life so arrogant, he thinks he's a tough dude, but he forgot that he's going to meet him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يحزنك كفر إلينا مرجعهم فنبئهم بما عملوا إن الله عليم بذات الصدور نمتعهم قليلا ثم نضطرهم إلى عذاب قليل. What a beautiful verse. He says, when they reject, don't let it bother you. لا يحزنك كفر إلينا مرجعهم. They are all coming back to us. And we will tell them what they did. We know what lies in their hearts. We allow them a little pleasure. Then we take them and punish them with a severe punishment. Why? Because they rejected to understand the basic premise of the law that requires that the minute you knew that the judicial system of Allah, and that there is a policing system of Allah, and then there is the desire of Allah to bring peace and harmony, and if you reject that, and if you insist on causing hell for yourself and those around you, then Allah says, we will grab you and take you and punish you with a severe punishment, because that is what you wanted, and you will get it. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and sisters, and I'm going to conclude because we are going to have a Q&A session today, tonight, is that we need to have fear of Allah. Fear in a positive way, knowing that my judge, the Maliki Yawmiddin, is going to judge me. Now, when I do business with you, how many a people have borrowed money? What a tragedy when I think about it. And I always ask the question, why do we have this problem? What's wrong with us? What is wrong with a human being that to borrow is so easy and to pay back is such a deadly fact? What is it about this? I firmly believe people who do this do not believe that the judge is going to judge them. It's like that child who stood outside of their attorney thinking that judge ain't going to get me. But when he stood in front of the judge, suddenly it dawned on him, try to escape now. Allah says, no. You're not going to escape. Now you will be standing and say, قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي I wish I was alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that so many ways. Even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mulk says, أَلَمْ يَعْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ The angels are asking when they're flinging the humans in hell, أَلَمْ يَعْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ قَدْ جَعْنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ أَوْ نَعْقِلُ مَا كُنَّا يَا صَحَابِ السَّلَامِ. Allah, what a beautiful verse. He says, when they're being flung in this hell, the angels are asking, did the water come to you to tell you that you should be a human being? That you should elevate your status? And I'm paraphrasing here, giving my commentary. He says, yes. قَالُوا بَلَىٰ. They did. But when they came, we called them liars. That you did not receive any revelation. This is what Muawiyah used to say about it. Muawiyah used to say that Muhammad. Even Abu Sufyan claiming to be a prophet. What message did he get? He never got a message. Historians have written that he used to sit by the wall and he would hear Adhan. He would stand up and act. He could even put his name in the Adhan. Like that. In old age, when he was blind, he went to the grave of Hamza and kicked it and said, this religion your father's fought against my father's is playing my hands. Same, this is it. He says, فَكَذَّبْنَا We call them liars. وَقُلْنَا And we say, مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ There was no revelation at all. That's what Yazid used to say. What revelation? There's no revelation from God. مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ There are people today who commit crimes, who kill people, who butcher. The atheists and the so-called Muslims who come under the guard of Islam, who pretend to be Muslims and they butcher people left, right and center, these people don't believe in the revelation of Allah. They're liars. Ma, نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ الشَّيْءِ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ Indeed, you are liars. Look at this statement. Then they will reply, "Oh, if only لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل, if only we would have listened and put it in our head, we would not be inmates of this fire of hell. لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في الحارة." We would not be this inhabitants of this hell. So when I ask this question between us, that when people borrow money, they make promises. People give them amana, people give them to hold something of theirs. You find humans are ever so quick to grab it and not to give it back. I was having a discussion with one of our scholars, and I said, you know, we have a Qarz al-Hasana in America where we share, we do interest-free loans to our brothers. He says, really? And what's your payback? What's your return? Who pays you back? I said, alhamdulillah, majority. They look at each other. That's a miracle. You have Qarz al-Hasana where people pay back? Since when? I said, how tragic. It's true. But we took extra measures to make sure that they pay back. Because you know, mashallah, inshallah. You get them like, mashallah, alhamdulillah. May Allah bless you. Subhanallah, mashallah, mashallah. May God bless you. You have to pay this back. Of course, alhamdulillah, mashallah, subhanallah. Yes, of course. 6 months later, 1 year later, mashallah, subhanallah. Mashallah, subhanallah, mashallah, can you drop dead? Mashallah, subhanallah. Faith in the name of judgment. And Allah calls you and says, come here, you who promised to pay that back. Did you not know that when you took this loan, it was a help for you to get off your feet? And now that you're off your feet, paying back because there's a lion that needs this money. Do you bother? No. Of course not. Inshallah. Allah, you know, God is the so forgive me, mashallah. You're not forgive me too. This is the problem. We don't have any fear that that day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to release every deed of mine in front of me and say, you promised this one. You didn't keep it, did you? Yeah. You know why you didn't keep it? Because you didn't think this day would come. That's your problem. You never bothered to sit and to take account of yourself. What's going to happen to you? Allah is going to show up on this earth. Did you not see people dying? Did you not think you were going to die? How many times we go to the graveyard and we bury people and we look down there, the poor chap, he died. How many of us think, oh my God, I'm next? Shaitan says, next? You? You're immortal. You can't die. No way. Everyone around you will die. You die? Impossible. You love yourself too much. You die. You're so good. Look at the mirror. You're so young. But does it discriminate? It catches everybody. Brothers and sisters, this is our problem. Our akhlaq goes out of line the minute this vision goes blurred. So Imam says, remember death every day, 3 times a day. Malakul Maut visits you every day. He says, hey, get ready. Soon you will be in my list. Get ready. So people say, are you scaring me with death? No. I'm not scaring you with death. I'm preparing us for being good. So that when our exam is called, when we hand the exam back to Allah, we will be on the right side. Many of our answers will be correct. So that Allah will say, good, come back, enter my garden. Do you think it's easy? Our akhlaq is so important, brothers and sisters. We need to prepare it. Salaam alaikum. Today, we are raising our children in a manner like there is no day of judgment. We raise them for material reasons, very minimal spirituality. Success is gauged based on material gains. What we forgot is that a human being is made up of two parts. If you take any side more than the other, you will kill this creature. If you take it on any level, if you take it at any level, the human race, you will see that they were made up of material and spiritual. Material and spiritual. If you just emphasize material and you negate the spiritual, you kill the person. In America and in other parts of the world, we find our youth, because public schools don't allow you to mention God, prayer is unheard of in public schools. We find most of the population He is lost in those spirits. And the way kids fulfill their sadness and their lack of comfort, that sukoon in the heart. See that comfort? That inner peace cannot be bought. You cannot buy inner peace. Statistically, the largest users of drugs are the wealthy populations. Statistically. The largest abusers of alcohol are the wealthy. Now you would think that the richer you are, the more at peace you should be. Hence, there's no need for you to use drugs. Because when you are at peace, you don't do silly things. People who indulge in satanic lifestyles, who indulge in promiscuous sexual misbehavior, who do dirty things like drinking alcohol and stuffing drugs into their bodies, are the ones who are not satisfied. They thought by buying expensive cars and big homes and looking rich, somehow they will gain respect from the society. They do. Oh yeah, they do gain respect, but it's lasting respect. People don't really care for you, they care for what you have, and they would love to have a piece of it. As far as they're concerned, you are not important. As long as your bank balance is overflowing, we like you. The day you declare bankruptcy, we don't care about you. You are nothing. So true. I've seen it. I've seen rich people who respected so much, and then overnight they lost all their money. No one would even look at them. And poor people, when they came to the places of worship, nobody would even say salam to them, because their garb is so poor that they just sit on the floor, no one cares to look at them. And then suddenly overnight they become rich, and everybody wants to shake their hands. Suddenly your character was elevated for wealth. Allah says, if that wealth has value, I would not have denied a fly that value. For the fly would have owned it too, because he is very worthy. But we are fooled into thinking that only the material will save us. No, material gain is important. Very important for us. We must get educated. We must have the best job. We must get into law and medicine and every possible field. And we must secure financially our institutions and our society and our community and our Muslims and non-Muslims alike should not be suffering in poverty. But it's not the goal, it's the means to the goal. Wealth is a means to the goal. When you look good and you wear good clothes and you have good equipment and good cars and good homes, it is not forbidden for us. Islam does not forbid it. In fact, Allah says, this is for you, I made it for you. It is for you, enjoy it. Use it. Allah mentions it in many verses in the Quran. But the problem is, we just make that as our goal. Thinking, if only I had this, the world would respect me. On the flip side, our religion, our iman, our spirituality is being ignored. We find it contradictory that the minute I become religious, quote unquote, the world will call me an extremist. The world will call me a fundamentalist. Look at this game. Fundamentalist. Did you notice what everybody said? Fundamentalist Islam. Fundamentalism. Fundamental. How is that about this? Well, he is laughing about it. I said, what a bunch of crooks you are. Bunch of liars. You've monopolized the most fundamental, sorry to use the word again, but the most fundamental word in everything that's intelligent. I said, yeah, you go to school? Yes, I'm getting my PhD. Really? Excellent. You want such a fundamental science. Yes. You're an extremist. Fundamental science? Fundamentalism is bad. Does anybody say that? No. When you're in anything in the world you do, in any area of science, if you don't know fundamental science, you're not a scientist. So that's not extremism. But we're all afraid. Oh, no, no, no. If I become a Muslim and I go back to the roots of what my religion is and what my Lord has told me to do, and I want to follow Him properly, not in a moderate way where one day I worship God and another day I worship the devil, but rather I worship God daily, 24/7, you are called an extremist. You are called, you know, fundamentalists. And our children and our parents and society these days are afraid to go into religion. Because that social pressure out there tells us that we are extreme. This is Islam? This is what my Lord said to me? If you and I don't rise to the occasion and say, what are you talking about? The best human being is the the one who's a fundamentalist in his religion of truth, the one who's truthfully fundamental, basing his movements and actions that which God gave him, not that which man has infiltrated his religion, is a different. This is what we're aiming for, because otherwise we will never have peace, tranquility, and good behavior. And when we make promises, we will not defy our promises. When we take money, we will not pay back, because fundamentally there is something flawed. I'm going to conclude that we raise our children today in a very materialistic fashion, which is wrong. There's a problem in this system. There is a problem. Until that we teach our children to balance between material and spirit, and we give them material, it is their right to enjoy it, it is their right to indulge in sports and activities and have a good thing if you can afford it. But not at the cost of cheating in life. Unacceptable. Only in the halal way. Meaning if you can earn it in the halal way, use it properly. But don't use it to show off, because that would be an abuse. Use it to share it. Make other people's lives easy. Allah will require you many more times. Wealth is a gift of Allah. It's a great gift. But unfortunately, parents today are raising their children in a very materialistic angle, thinking that the only way they will protect their own interests is through money. Money is a great tool, but it is also the root of many evil deeds. Shaitan kissed it. He said, through this, I will destroy humans. Haven't you heard the Menendez brothers? How they murdered their parents only because they had dreams of inheriting money from their parents, and they couldn't wait for their parents to drop dead. So they killed them. How tragic. Sons can just plan together to kill their parents and shoot them because they want money. I say, this is the asfal as-safilin, lowest of the low, this creature. What's wrong with this child? And we can have those kinds of behaviors. But of course, alhamdulillah, our society is not of that extreme. Alhamdulillah. But it's in between. When we make friends when they're rich, we drop them when they're not. When it comes time to marriage, people look, who's the rich boy? I've seen boys getting married to girls, you know, big bank balances. Akhlaq-wise, zero. They're the worst. Arrogant, ignorant, every negative quality, pretty much, they have some of it. And then they propose, the father's son, millionaire boy, yes, yes. That's how you worry? That's how we give our daughters? Or sons, that's how we give them? Money? Material? What happened to taqwa? You think it's a joke when two people get married? You think what, children will just come like a conveyor belt in a factory where you can just change the meters and change the structure and the baby's just gonna come out the right way? No, it doesn't work that way. It works as a collection of husband and wife. And when they misbehave, even at the time when the child is being conceived, the child hears it. The scientific evidence to show that when the mother is carrying the baby in its womb, and when it misbehaves, the baby senses it. It feels it, it hears it. It affects it. Scientific studies have been done of parents who are very musical. That when a child, even in the womb of its mother, develops an acute sense of musical notes, that once it's born, it becomes very sharp in that area of science. How did they do that? Because it hears it in the womb. Now, if there's bad akhlaq, bad behavior, where couples have gotten married and they're fighting because the wife wants a Mercedes, or the husband wants a big house, or one way or the other, or the wife wants to worship Allah and the husband says no, or the wife wants to wear hijab and the husband says no, and there's a constant bickering and fighting between them, you think the children don't get affected? Of course they do. You will find most fights take place as a result of the pull for material, not for the pull of spirit. It's the material part that deters goodness. So watch out. We need to train our children to be humble, to have taqwa, and to have what we call this tawakkal Allah, where you're ready to throw all your money for the love of Allah and give it and walk away barehanded to please Allah. This tawakkal is a very tough state of affairs. If we don't raise our children properly, we're going to have serious problems tomorrow. The reason divorces are taking place In the West, 60% plus marriages, means 6 out of 10 marriages end up in divorces. 6 out of 10. That's an astronomical number. No wonder there's a rebounding. People today don't want to get married. And they live together in sin and produce illegitimate children. That today illegitimate children birth has accelerated at an alarming rate in the United States. It's double digits, the number of illegitimate children born in percentage-wise. Astronomical. Children are coming up. Already said, an illegitimate child, watch out. It is a victim and a victimizer. It will victimize. Watch it. Because any child born out of wedlock is an accidental birth. Or if it isn't born by planning, it is not born on a contract. It's acquired and brought into the world outside of contract. Any transaction a human being goes into, whether it's a business transaction or any transaction that lacks a contract, an agreement, watch out. It will collapse and fall flat on their faces. It's just the law of the nature. So I conclude, brothers and sisters, we need to raise our children well. Spouse selection, I mentioned, I promise you there's no time today because of the Q&A. Spouse selection, our imam says, when you look for a wife, a person comes and asks my imam, he says, how do I look for a wife? What's my choice when I'm looking for a mate? Imam says, look at her as the mother of your children. See her as the mother of your children. If she is capable of handling motherhood, marry her. And on the flip side, a woman, how should she choose? See the boy as the father of your children. If he's responsible, he's going to be there to answer the needs. He's going to protect you. He's going to always keep his promise. He's going to nurture you. He's going to hold you with tenderness. That's the man to marry. A man who's got wisdom and knowledge. One who's respectable. I say to my brothers, many times even the brothers in America, when I raised them in madrasa, I said, brother, shape up now. He said, why? I said, tomorrow I would love for the girl to be knocking at your door. The father of the girl knocking at your door. He says, you, I want you to marry my daughter. And the boy is surprised. Why? Because the father says, I know where to put my gem. I know where to give my gem. Because I'm not going to let my beloved daughter go into any man's hand. No, I'm going to look for the right one. You think it's a joke to find the right one? I am telling you today, it's like looking for a needle in a haystack. Honestly, because our children are being raised haphazardly in such foolishness that people even get together in marriage contracts and they don't even know what lies ahead of them. They haven't even prepared themselves. They're doing it only because of their passion. Have they even used their mind to prepare themselves that marriage is a contract that requires a solid foundational planning? Couples get married, everyone, each side expects the world from the other side. I've heard divorces take place just because carpet wasn't brought into the house. You know that? I just heard. There's a divorce that took place. They bought your house, and the girl expects a new Persian rugs. The boy's mother says, instead of buying it right now, I've got lots of rugs. Why don't you just take this? The wife says, that's it. I divorce you. Salaam alaikum. And she divorces him. Worse, I've heard worse stories. The boy lived in the wrong way. He married you. How can you reach the wrong way? Well, I just don't feel like it. You want the worst one? One boy got married and he's going on his honeymoon. I'm a personal witness to this one. So this is not a hearsay. They go on their honeymoon. The girl says to him, can you please stop? I need to call my boyfriend. Halfway. I can imagine that another halfway must have been hell. You have a smile halfway, you have a frown the other halfway. What a tragedy. She comes back, she divorces him, and the chef is asking, who wants a divorce? She says, I want a divorce. And he looks, the chef says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Are you sure you're okay? She says, yes. And he asks, why'd you marry him? I don't know, it was the spur of the moment. Yeah, the spur of the moment. This is how bad everybody else is. They can't even look further than their noses when they get married. No wonder they're married. I have sisters coming. Brother, I'm terrified. I don't know who to accept. I'm getting my proposals. I don't know. I'm going to put my foot in a landmine. I said, you're right. On the flip side, societies are creating anathemas, problems, material, hogging creatures who just want big cars and big, big dollars and big, big homes and big this and big that. And the diamond, of course, the engagement diamond is like, oh, the first thing everybody talks about, diamond ring. What's this? Diamond ring, 5,000, 10,000 pound diamond ring I hear. What is this? Engagement, nobody got married. By the way, in this month, there's no such thing as engagement. That's a pagan ritual, engagement. It's nothing in Islam. In Islam, there is no contract in that has been stipulated in the Quran on the life of our Prophet called engagement. We've become so fancy and westernized people, we have engagement for 5 years. They sit in the mall holding hands. What do you mean? Oh, we're engaged. What is it? We're engaged. Haram. Tell me you're married. Tell me you do temporary marriage, alhamdulillah. It's haram. If you're going to walk around holding hands in public, shame on you. What if you make your dress tomorrow? Who's going to want to marry you? A lot of stories to tell, brothers and sisters, but there's enough time. You haven't get my point. It's our responsibility. That motherhood is so powerful. The Muslim was saying that in Sunday morning, Hamalat Ummuhu Wahdan Allah Wahdan. The mother, she affects children so much as every boy, every man in this room, including myself. Who has been the most impacted in your life? Who has impacted you the most? I can pretty much say with certainty, our mothers. Fathers are there too. Let's not denigrate them. They play a critical role. Their mothers. وَحْدَنَ عَلَى وَحْدٍ وَفِي صَالِهُ فِي عَمَيْنِ وَنِشْكُنْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْهِ إِلَيْهِ يَلِ مَصِيرٍ 2 years, pain upon pain, that woman carried you. Be grateful to me and them, your parents. Motherhood is not a joke. You don't just go get married and bring children and then create all types of problems. This is planning. Brothers and sisters, this is what I mean by akhlaq. The fullness of akhlaq. The quality of an individual, it requires much, much discussion. The solutions are at our, in our hands, the Quran, the Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet, our society, all of these are solutions for us. We'll talk more inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before the turn it is, there's an event called, it's on the 26th of October. There's an Arabic program, and there's one on the Eid party, correct? Yes? From 6 to 10 p.m. at the Empire House. What's in the Empire House? Correct. There are two programs, same place. We ask all of you to participate. It's very important, brothers. Alhamdulillah, I see this crowd, mashallah. It's wonderful. It's very heartwarming in the month of Ramadan. I know you all go to work. It's not easy breaking your fast at 6:15. You have to rush and do your salah, get ready. Some of you are coming from the south, and some of you from the north, and the east, and the west. It's so heartwarming to see a community that takes time to come and sit, spend an hour, and come and listen. Whether it's me talking or anybody else, it shows how much desire we have for truth, how much desire we have to submit and be contented in our hearts for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I am so optimistic. Really, I'm very optimistic, and I believe that even after this program, any other programs being held, you know, organizations like Ahlul Bayt, any other groups, whatever, all over, south, north, programs are taking place, people are going, I said, Alhamdulillah, let's get our youths and our societies engaged, and we should demand many more lectures, intellectual ones, that those that challenge the mind, those that take us to higher levels, those that give us solutions. Inshallah, tomorrow I plan to speak about justice for Allah, the spectrum of it, very fast, and also to speak about some of the day-to-day problems we're having with our kids, the way we're raising them, in particular about diet, in particular about the internet, the social problems we have there. I want to bring some articles tomorrow, I will read them to you, and I want you to see first-hand statistics that the Western world is doing in seeing this problem and how Islam has already solved this problem, inshallah, we'll talk about it tomorrow and the day after, inshallah. Salaam alaikum. Does anybody have a question before the question has come to me? I have written.